another episode of Comic Syndicate. Check them out at thecomicsyndicate.podbean.com and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. And now, here are your hosts, Josiah and Adam.
Welcome to another teaser episode of the Comic Syndicate. Guys, I just want to let you know, this is going to be a weird, special episode. It's one of my passion projects I've been wanting to work on, and this is strictly interview-based. I have a title for it, but I don't want to toss it out yet because I'd rather roll out and just let you guys know where I'm coming from on this interview thing that I want to do. It's something I've been wanting to work on and that I was given somehow fell into my laps like this opportunity. Like, you know what? Fuck it. Let's try it now. Like, I do have some time this weekend. Are you down to try this and get this going? So I came across you a while back, and we introduced my guest. It's Miss Rachel Madsen.
Hi. Yep, that's how you say my name. Good job.
Awesome. I know. I'm like confused. Madsen. But yeah, so you came across, and it gave me the perfect opportunity to, you know, try this. And this is going to be more based on interview. So please tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, and then we'll go deeper into your project. And I love the fuck out of your project already.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So I'm originally from Northern California, little tiny town called Yuba City, which is about 45 minutes north of Sacramento.
Okay.
Farming country, uh-huh. Gold country. That's kind of where everybody who was in the gold rush, they went up there, mm-hmm. and there was no gold anymore, so they stayed and started farms. This is kind of how the city came to be. And I loved it there, but I wanted to pursue fashion, so, you know, you can't really do that when your clientele is just farmers.
Yeah.
So I moved to Southern California.
Okay. How long or what year was that?
I was 24, so
when
that
you
was... 4 years ago.
Okay, was it on a whim or was it just to follow the dream? Or
it was on a whim.
Okay.
It was on a whim. My sister had three kids, twins that were autistic.
Okay.
And her husband was still is, but her husband's a Marine and he was traveling a lot, so she needed help to take care of them. So she said that if I moved in and I was her nanny, then I wouldn't have to pay room and board. You know, I would just help her out.
Okay.
And that would pay for living down here, and I could go to school. So that's what I did. I moved down, and it was actually San Diego County. I moved down there, and I started college because I'd already been sewing. I started sewing when I was 14. But I think I never realized – I was never confident in it.
Okay.
Because I didn't have the degree, and I didn't spend a lot of time with other sewers, so I didn't really know where I should be.
Yeah.
Or – what professional work looked like, again, because I was in, you know, a small town. There wasn't a lot of that there.
Mm.
And so I just kind of moved in with her, and I went to college, and I was like, wow, I'm really good at this.
That's interesting. In my life, I can't say I've met a lot of sewers. So,
yeah, see?
So your job right now, and we'll go into, you know what? Let's go down everything. Okay, so you're in San Diego. You go to school, and what's your first job into? A sewing career? I mean,
well,
how does that
I was working at kind of like a yogurt place because it was next to my house, and
okay.
My sister knew the manager who was like 17. So I was like, I really should not be in this place, but it was
yeah.
easy money, and
yeah.
I got a lot of tips. And I was going to college, and my college professor asked me to be his TA because he needed one, and I'm really good. And I was TAing with him, and we would talk all the time. We just got on really well.
What was the major?
Fashion design.
Fashion design, straight up.
And he worked at Legoland, and he was like, you need to work at Legoland. And I was like, okay. He's like, I'm going to set up an interview. You need to work there. And I was, sure, if you give me the job, I'll work there because, you know, I don't want to do yogurt.
And what particular job was it? Like
costuming.
Costuming
department. Yeah.
Okay.
So I went in, and literally Yoli, the costume designer,
mm.
not just for Legoland California, but she designs the costumes for Legoland International.
Awesome.
So all of the costumes from Legoland pretty much come from Legoland California. They're in charge of all of the big Lego people,
mm-hmm.
and then they set the tone for all of the Lego friends and pretty much any other show, even the uniforms. She designed
right.
all of the uniforms that everyone wears.
So you kind of fell into something really cool.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was what I wanted to do, but, I mean, I got lucky.
Okay, how long were you there? And I still want to go into that because, first of all, you think Legoland, any behind the scenes theme park in my eyes would be cool, but you kind of, I would think you get a sense of it loses its magic once you see how it, you know, it is behind the scenes type of deal. Did it take away any of that magic for you, or were you more still for your career? And what exactly did you do in costume? Like, you're knitting together these costumes.
Knitting?
Sewing together the costume. Knitting, I know, right? Crocheting, I know, these costumes together.
No, yeah, I mean, I just got really lucky. It fell on my lap. I went for the interview, and she was like, this is a formality. You're hired because he recommended you, and I trust him. That.
Okay.
And I went right into running costumes, running the shows. So
okay.
It's a little bit different. You have Stitcher. Well, costuming departments are usually very big. Ours is very small.
Okay.
At Legoland.
Normally?
There are three stitchers, so two people who actually make the Lego men, the, okay, like, giant Lego people, mm-hmm, and then one person who does all of the regular stuff for the park, the regular performance people.
Okay.
And then you have the costumers who work at the park, and we're kind of like run the show. We do all of the laundry, all the wardrobe, all the dressing, all the wigs, small touch-ups, maintenance, repair, all of that stuff. And then if they need us at the warehouse to help build costumes, we'll go over there and help build costumes as well.
So you guys are constantly busy.
Oh my gosh, back to back.
Yeah.
You don't sit down.
That about any job, though. That way you don't feel complacent and you feel, you know, like time flies by on.
It goes both ways. I mean, there would be some days where everything would go according to schedule and, mm-hmm, it would be nice because you're always moving, but you're not stressed out.
Yeah.
And then there would be days where, like, everything falls apart, someone broke their leg, and, you know, we have to get a new performer in, or a shoe broke, and a bird pooped on their wig, and, you know, all
those small things you don't really think about.
Yeah. So sometimes there are big things where you're like, oh my God, I don't know what to do. You know, we have to shut the show down because so-and-so broke her toe. But then there are other times where it's just like a bunch of little things add up.
Yeah.
So-and-so's sick, and what's her face? Got a bird pooped on her wig, and now we have to pull all of these things and make new wigs,
yeah,
and new costumes and pull all this stuff out. And unlike most places, all our performers are assigned costumes.
Okay.
So it's not always very easy to get them another costume if something happens to theirs. If they rip their skirt, then it's like, oh, or some little kid, you know, like with Cheetos on his hands, is,
yeah,
like rubbing their hand all over them.
Yeah.
Then you're like, oh no, now I gotta get a new costume for you.
Those small things you don't really,
yeah,
think about. Okay, how many costumes per, I don't know, person? Lego person? Like Lego people? Like, what do I call them?
So we have the face characters like Disney. So
okay,
you have them it's their face and they wear a wig and a costume.
Okay.
And then we have like the Lego people who are like Tigger and Winnie the Pooh, where they wear a costume suit.
Yeah.
Those suits, depending on the character, because,
mm-hmm,
some of them are more popular than others.
Yeah.
So some of them we have multiples of. And again, it's popularity.
Yeah.
And they all have names and they all look identical to the actual Lego character that they are referencing.
Okay.
So all of which I didn't know until I worked there, but every little Lego minifigure,
yeah,
has a name.
Oh, I'm sure.
Even,
yeah,
the ones that don't look like they,
which
have, like,
gnarly,
the generic,
yeah,
one.
Yeah.
The most generic one is our most popular one.
Really?
And his name is Buddy.
Okay.
And they actually have two Buddies out there.
Interesting.
And then they have two Emmets, obviously.
Oh, interesting. I'm,
yes,
like, okay, I know.
And one. Then two Wild Styles,
Tail,
obviously.
Okay.
And I think they're getting a third Wild Style.
Oh, the movie's coming out, so I guess that would make sense.
Mm-hmm.
How long were you there?
Three years.
3 years, okay.
Three wonderful years. I probably would have stayed on forever if there had been advancement, but the department's so small, there's not really a place,
yeah,
to go. But I loved it. I mean, it wasn't quite my dream job, but,
yeah,
it was so close to it that I could have been happy staying there for the rest of my life. Like, it was so, it just was, you know, the pay doesn't pay that well.
Yeah, yeah.
Is the hard thing. And then the drive was not so great. The commute was the worst
part. Where were you commuting? So it's in Carlsbad, right?
Yeah, and I was living here.
Oh,
commuting,
wow,
to Carlsbad. I started there and then I moved in, yeah, up here. I moved in with some roommates in Anaheim. And I commuted for 2 years. 2 years I made that commute.
Yeah.
And,
wow,
then I left because it was just too much. It,
okay,
was too hard of a commute.
So 3 years you were there. You had mentioned in our prior conversation that the lady you were working with was like really, influential, right?
She's amazing. Okay. She's incredible.
So
her name is.
Tell me a little bit about
yeah,
her.
Yeah, her name is Yoli Bennett. She has been costuming forever, okay. all over San Diego. Like anybody in San Diego worth knowing, she's worked with. Very I mean, she's amazing. She has like two huge warehouses, personal warehouses, full of costumes that she's just accumulated over the years. Okay.
So she's like the Yoda of
yes,
costume design.
Yes, she's amazing. Very and. Cool. She got in at Legoland when they were first building the park in Carlsbad. So she got in kind of on the ground before it exploded. Mm-hmm. And then and it really was just her and I think one other person. She had like one stitcher at the time. And then she's kind of gone through people as it's gone on. And like last year, I mean, I really kind of left at the worst time because it literally was just about to explode.
Oh,
and
no
it has.
Yeah,
yeah. They built a second hotel and they added all these new shows.
Yeah.
So it's huge right now, but, you know, just the commute was just too much. I couldn't handle it anymore.
This is just my cheesy question to you. The perks, though. You get into the park for free like you would.
Oh, Disney, yeah.
Right? Did you take advantage of that? I mean, I would think the commute would still suck on your day off to want to go out there for the day.
My nieces and nephews took it.
Okay, that would definitely
I mean, I was there all the time. So it's kind of so like Disney, you sign in. Legoland, they actually give you tickets. So they give you a certain amount of tickets. You get 40 tickets.
Okay.
That, at Hopper tickets, 40 Hopper tickets that you can use and you can give away, whatever.
Awesome. Okay.
And then with your pass, because you get like a really cool key card, you can just get in on your own.
That's pretty right. Okay.
So I don't actually, so like none of the tickets had to work for me. I could go in whenever I wanted to. I just swiped my card and I got to go in. And same with parking. I always got free parking because I'd swipe my card.
Good perks.
I actually was really cool. I always felt really cool because my badge. So the badges are magnetic, right? And so you can get into certain areas.
Yeah.
Because I did costuming, I had access to pretty much the entire park, which not everybody does.
Okay.
So my card could get me into just about any place. I could get into the offices.
Okay.
I could get into the backstage
you
area.
You sound really shady right now.
No, I love it. I felt so cool because I'd go in. I checked out keys. So basically, like, mine wasn't as good as security's.
Yeah.
I was the step below security. I could go pretty much anywhere security could go.
Okay.
Because I had to, you know, I have to take costumes to
cool.
people.
Yeah, yeah.
But I always felt really cool. And I had keys. So we had, like, the magnetic keys to get the actual, like, park keys. And so I could get park keys, too.
Okay.
So I had the physical keys and I had the magnetic key. And I could go anywhere. Nobody. It was really cool. I could get pretty much into any room I wanted to get into.
Before I jump topics, I'm going to end Legoland right now. But with these two questions. What was your favorite thing about working at Legoland? And what was the thing you hated the most about working at Legoland?
It was the same thing. The performers.
Really?
And it's one of those things.
Like prima donnas or like attitudes or like what was the deal?
It depends on the performers. So there were some performers who I absolutely adored and I still do. We're still really close. We're still really good friends.
Okay.
I text them all the time. I love them. So there are so many of them that are just wonderful, wonderful people, just really great people who always want to help you out, always looking to just include. But then you also had performers who were not necessarily bad people. They were just very difficult.
Okay.
You know? But the hardest thing was, what I really didn't like was the complaining. Because you get, typically it was hotel performers. Not always, though. I mean, you got them in every batch. You never knew. They're just people. But you get people who just, they were never happy. And nothing you did was ever good enough for them. And that was really hard because it's like, hey, you know, like I'm running. I mean, depending on the season, I could be running anywhere from 5 to 10 shows.
Yeah.
And you'd be like, look, I'm running 10 shows. I don't have to stick my neck out here for you. I'm getting you extra things because you're requesting them.
Wow.
But that's not my job. Yeah. My job isn't to do, you know, I only need to give you the minimum.
Yeah.
And I'm doing extra because you asked for it, but I don't have to do that. And I don't appreciate the attitude, you know? I don't appreciate you giving me a hard time over it.
I understand that. I didn't think that would be as big of an issue the way you broke it down. But, okay, how long did you put up with it before you finally said, you know what, fuck this. This is, I'm ready to bounce.
Most of them, it wasn't that bad. Because, again, they're contracted. Yeah. So sometimes you'd have a difficult performer. And I'd just be like, hey, Yoli, this performer, they give me a really hard time. And she'd be like, I'm going to talk to them. And she would. I mean, she'd call them up right away. And she'd be like, if you want another season, you need to do your job and stop complaining. I mean, she wouldn't be like, so-and-so told on you. But she'd straight up be like, I've been getting a lot of negative feedback from people at the park. You want to keep moving forward? You want to stay here? You like this job? Then you need to get your act together because they have to re-audition every year. So if you have a difficult performer and they're giving you a hard time at the re-audition phase, the casting directors always take Yoli. She gets to go to those so she can straight up veto anybody.
Interesting. Okay.
She'll be like, nope, this person is difficult to work with. I don't like them. Don't bring them in. They don't do their job. They X, Y, and Z.
What was the day like when you had to tell, what was her name?
Yoli.
Yoli. I was going to say, I'm like, is that right? Okay, so Yoli, the day you had to hit her up and tell her, honestly, like, it's time for me to spread these wings and take off.
That, we had been talking about it before.
Okay.
It wasn't a surprise to her. When I moved, the first thought was, you know, I love working here, but I am going to look for something closer to where I am. Mm-hmm. I'm happy to train somebody to take over for me. And we tried that, and we couldn't get anyone to take over for me.
Really?
There wasn't anybody who could keep... It's a really hard job. You have to be super self-sufficient. There is no supervisor on site. So you can't... Some people need to have a supervisor in order to work hard. That job, there is no supervisor because she's doing her job, which is off-site, and she has to be there to do it. So you have to be able to... You have to be flexible enough to look at your schedule and be like, these are all the things I need to get done today.
Yeah.
These are all the times they need to be done by. And if something bad happens, I need to be able to compensate for that.
Yeah.
And not everybody can do that. Hmm. It's really hard to be like, oh, so, like I said, so-and-so broke their toe. I have three other shows that need to go up, and I have to take care of this now. So you have to figure out the best way and communicate really well with the entertainment team,
who
are also amazing. I mean... I could call any one of them, any of the supervisors, and be like, okay, so I understand this is what happened. This is what I'm going to need from you in order for me to make that next show happen or make the next thing happen. And they'd always be accommodating and be like, okay, we can do that. We can delay this show 10 minutes or we can do whatever we need to do to make sure that that show goes up on time because of this. So they were all, again, a wonderful, wonderful team.
Okay.
And, I mean, I think a lot of people work in entertainment and they get jaded really quick.
I can see that happening, yeah.
But again, it's all about communication.
Oh, for sure, yeah. You would think that's every job, though.
Yeah, right? Yeah, but I guess, you know, creative types have a hard time communicating for whatever reason. So you know, for me, I didn't get jaded because I communicate very well and I tell everybody what was going on right away. But other people, you try to train them in and they'd get stressed out really quick.
Sorry, guys. Just to let you guys know, we have David here that I'm going to interview next. And just this side thing, I had this cracking up. So, yeah, don't mind us having fun over here. But, God, that was great. Okay, so you're living in, Anaheim? You're commuting to Carlsbad.
Yeah.
You finally decided to leave. What's your next job after that?
I took the first job offered to me.
Yogurt Land again.
No. No, a group leader for the YMCA.
Straight up. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And,
group leader for YMCA. Okay.
Yeah, and I put together a sewing program for them. And it was a hit. It turned out much better than I think anybody expected. Even me. I knew that I could get them to complete garments in time to put on a fashion show. I did not expect the quality of them to be so good.
Really? Okay. So tell me about that process. Like, you put on a legit fashion show.
Oh, yeah. In an auditorium.
How many people, how many kids, how many adults, how many different garments did you have to make, I guess?
Each student made a garment. We had about 15 students, so 15 garments.
First year out. What was the time span they gave you? Time frame, I guess.
We started, so the program started at the beginning of the school year.
Okay.
So when we came in at the beginning, we started learning basic sewing skills and design. It's a two-part class. So I teach them the concept of design and also the steps to do it. So we analyze different designers and then the design process. We go through how to do that, how to create a line, how to design using variations, how to pick your garments based on your skill level, based on what the theme and the mood and all of those things.
How old were the kids?
They're elementary kids.
Straight up. Elementary children
second through sixth graders.
Garments.
Yes. Yes. Not just making them, going through the entire design process.
Wow.
The actual garment, so making the finished garment, started after the school break, so from January to April.
What year was this?
Last year.
So last year, okay.
So last this year, so this past May.
So you
May.
Left Legoland somewhat recent then.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I left in January.
Okay.
So.
Okay, so you're working with these kids at YMCA, and you put on a fashion show. What was the most extravagant garment that one of the kids made?
We did a quinceañera dress.
Okay. You're in Orange County, so that's exactly.
A white satin dress, fully lined, and I don't know, like 10 layers of tulle.
Okay.
Something ridiculous like that.
Uh-huh.
For a 14-year-old is the one who wore it. We actually signed the model, so they got to the full design experience.
That's
because a lot
cool.
of times when people do these programs, you're the model, right? You design and then you put it on and you model.
Okay. Yeah.
In the real world, you design for someone else. So we assigned to them their models first, so they knew what they were working with, and then they designed based on that model. Which was a challenge for them, but also a very real-world experience. I wanted them to get the full hands-on idea. I wanted them to experience design the way that I experienced design. That way they get a real taste of it.
And this is more of like an after-school program?
It's an after-school program.
Straight up. Okay. Now, this happened last year. You said you even surprised yourself. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, they surprised me. I just taught it to them.
Cool.
You never know when you're teaching other people how they're going to take it, but they literally ran with it.
And, okay, let's go back to the YMCA. What were their expectations? Were they eager to sign you on? Like, fuck, what is she going to do? What does she think? I mean, did they have a program open available before? Is
well,
that something you brought to the table? Like
the after-school program, they already do. They do what's called clubs. Mm-hmm. So the idea of the after-school program is it's typically for lower-income families, and we try to give the kids the extracurricular experience because a lot of these kids
Which
we don't want the YMCA
rad.
To just be like, oh, we're babysitting your kids.
Yeah, pretty much.
We want it to be like they
Let's
get to
teach you a skill.
They
too.
Get to experience all the things that other kids who aren't an after school program get to do, you know. So we have a dance club, so they dance and they go to dance competition.
Yeah.
We do a sports club,
which is pretty
and they
awesome,
compete against the other schools,
Very
actual
cool.
competitions, and they get jerseys and everything. So we really go all out. And I went in, somebody else had been teaching art, and so I went in and I was doing the art for them, which I can do, the, you know, like painting and stuff.
Yeah.
But I was like, you know, I do sewing. I spoke to my supervisor and I was like, I do sewing. I could probably put together a really rad sewing program
so
for you.
So you pitched it to them straight?
Yeah, I pitched it to him and he loved it. He
really?
Was he was all about it.
Cool.
He was like, let's do this.
Rad. Yeah.
And then he went and he pitched it to the director and she kind of was like, well, I don't know.
Was it too ambitious, or was it just something new that they were iffy on?
They have one at the high school, so the sewing program isn't new. The high school has their version, not nearly as intense as mine.
Okay.
Because I wrote this, and I'm an ambitious person.
Okay.
But they kind of had their own version, but they're high schoolers, and so they kind of were like, I don't think you can pull this off with elementary kids in... And which to be fair, I mean, they are elementary kids.
Yeah, that's, I mean, what I was going to say next is like, I mean, I love kids, but they're little bastards. I mean, they're demon creatures sometimes.
They can be tough. My kids are not.
Good.
Right now I'm in three schools. They ended up moving me to three schools because it was so successful.
Okay.
And all of my kids are the best behaved kids you would ever meet. Not necessarily when they're with their group leaders, but always for me because I'll throw them out. I straight up first day, no second chances. I lay down the law. If I catch you messing around, you're out.
Okay.
No second chances, no excuses. That's it.
So still at it. YMCA now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is second gig though, right?
Oh yeah, this is my second job.
What is your main job? And then we'll go into a little bit more about your passion project because that's, I think, you pulled everything together. But this is just a story, and please tell me. So, what's your job? What do you do?
I work at SoFit. It is an alteration shop in Orange, and I am the tailor there.
Okay,
I love it. They're just the sweetest people. It's a brother and sister, Essie and Nahi. They co-own it and they're just like so sweet. They're the best people. I mean, really, I couldn't ask for better bosses. I think I got very, very lucky. Although I had my choice of where to work. I was actually offered like three different jobs at the same time. Mm-hmm. And I worked with them for about a week, and I was like, I love it here. I'm not going to take anything else. This is where I want to stay because they're sweet. They're wonderful. They're so nice. They let me use the shop on the off day if I want to use it, if I want to use the equipment. After hours or when we're closed down, they are like, go ahead, help yourself, use anything you need. So yeah, they're just really, really sweet, genuine people.
And you know what, odd? I don't want to say it like that, but I never looked at Taylor and her alterations like it was its own field, like.
Oh my goodness.
Which I don't know if, I kind of sound like a dick for thinking
about
that.
No, no,
like
no. I would say that it is an art form. Really is.
I mean, it kind of is, yeah. And you don't. It's one of those things I never really thought about. So the more that we're talking, I'm like, shit, no, yeah. Wait, okay, so it is though, right?
Yeah,
it allows you to be creative.
A lot of people think about like the fashion design, which is insanely creative, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Because you're making something from scratch. Yeah. Alterations is not as creative, but it's more challenging because you're not creating something from scratch. You're working with somebody else's. You know, it'd be like someone handed you a Monet and they're like, do something with this.
Oh, geez. Yeah.
And you're like, okay, all right, let me do something with this.
Crazy. Yeah, yeah.
And so that's really what it is. And I mean, actually recently I just had this beautiful, beautiful $300 dress, this bias cut dress, insanely gorgeous. And I was so excited to get to work on it because it's like, wow, this is an incredible dress. And I got to alter it. And so I got to give her how the dress was supposed to look because she bought it.
Okay.
And it didn't look the way it was supposed to look on her because it was, you know, it was a ready-to-wear. It was just made. So she comes in and she's like, well, can you fix it for me? And I got to do that. And then she puts it back on and she's like, oh, this is perfect.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, you just get this wonderful feeling because, no, I didn't design that dress, but I was able to make it fulfill its purpose.
It has
a purpose, and you know, for me, clothes, that's how I see them, is, you know, it's a piece of art and it has a life and it has a purpose that it wants to fulfill.
Awesome.
And when clothes don't fit you, then they sit in your closet.
That's kind of beautiful the way you put that too, though. Like,
yeah.
The way you phrase that, but that's true. Okay. So how long you been there now?
Since June.
Okay.
So yeah. June. I started in June.
This year.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And they keep me so busy. But I love it.
Very cool. Okay, I guess that's going to lead us in finally into how I came across you, I guess. And you guys have you know what? You tell us what you guys have going on. It's a carnival of some sorts, right?
Yes. Well, you found me, I think, when I was doing my fashion show in Costa Mesa.
And, okay, was it Costa Mesa or the Santa Ana?
It's Costa Mesa.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And so I do have like my own side project, Madison Creations, where I do like lingerie and custom men's apparel because those are the two things I like doing. For me, they're the most fun.
That's cool.
And then I always kind of transition from Madison Creation to Cobb's Carnival of Dreams, which is actually a haunted play. That we do, an immersive haunted play.
Okay.
It's very spooky.
I started following that Instagram account, and just to see everyone in character, I'm like, this is fucking dope. What is this?
It's amazing. It really is.
I'm a big Halloween/horror guy, and it's like, this is dope. Like, how long is this? This is Orange County. Get the fuck out of here. Like, how come I haven't heard of this before?
Yeah.
But, when did that get started? How'd you get involved? And what exactly do you do for it?
They've been doing it for about 5 years. I came on, I think, 2015. I made one garment for them.
Okay.
Candy, she's our makeup artist. She reached out to me. She needed a costume. I do custom apparel. I was still living in San Diego at the time. And she was like, can you make me a costume? Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, sure. You know, no problem. That's what I do. And I made it. I didn't really know what it was about. I kind of followed them on Facebook.
Uh-huh.
They didn't have an Instagram yet, but I was just kind of following them on Facebook. And I was like, oh, this looks like really fun. I'm glad that I can contribute in some way. And then the next year, they invited me to move in with them. And
that's
I did.
Not odd at all. I know, right? Like...
She wasn't a stranger. I knew her.
Okay.
Her dad was actually my drama teacher.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, yeah. So I'd known her since I was in high school. As an acquaintance, you know, we weren't really close because she wasn't in high school and I was.
Uh-huh.
And her dad was my teacher. So I kind of knew her, you know, on social media. We connected and stuff. But then they needed another roommate, and I was looking for a place to move. And so she was like, move in with us. And so I moved in with them. And that was, you know, the first time I didn't live with someone that I was related to.
Okay.
And it was interesting. I kind of was sharing with you earlier how it was an interesting transition.
Oh, I'm sure.
From family to roommates, yeah. As it always is.
Yeah, it normally is, yeah.
So it was, but it turned out to be an amazing thing because, you know, we all got to live together, a bunch of artists. Yeah. We lived in a house full of artists. And you made art together.
Yeah. We were talking about that earlier. How the creativity, though, and everyone's, I want to think you guys would encourage each other more.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was really easy to be creative in a house full of other creatives.
Yes.
And like David, who's here with us. I mean, we spent a lot of time in the mornings because I worked at Legoland and he worked in LA. So we would get up at the same time to leave.
Yeah.
And we spent a lot of time in the morning, like talking about talking about things that we wanted to work on or add to the haunt.
Very
or
cool.
Just, you know, it was easy to go, or even things that weren't related at all, just like these creative tangents. It was really easy to get on those.
Yeah, oh, I'm sure.
Because you see each other every day, you know, it kind of makes it makes it really easy to be creative when you're around other creative people.
Yeah.
And they really encourage your work.
Very, very dope. So Cobb's Carnival of Dreams.
Cobb's, yeah, like corn on the cob.
Okay, so Cobb's. So how long, you said you initially started off with one garment first year. When did it snowball into what it is now?
2016, because I lived with them,
okay.
And they were like, well, let's, you know, do you want, they really asked me. It wasn't like anybody forced me into it, but they were like, this is something we do every year, and we never make, because we had another roommate, Steve, who wasn't really super involved in it. And so she kind of was like, Candy approached me. She was like, so this is something we as a house do every year. If you don't want to do it, that's fine.
Yeah.
That's totally okay. You're not obligated. But this is something the rest of us like to do. We really enjoy. And I was like, well, you know, I get to be creative and make costumes, which is my favorite thing in the world.
That's awesome.
Sign me up.
It allows you to be creative and fulfill, you know, a passion. And that's what I love. Okay, break down the Cobb's Carnival of Dreams. What exactly, how many people, what exactly do you guys do? Where are you guys located and when do you guys start? Everything.
Well, we used to be right by Disney.
Okay.
But this year we've moved to downtown Anaheim, so Center Street Promenade.
Okay.
It's off of Broadway. And Broadway and
Anaheim Boulevard.
Boulevard.
Awesome.
The Anaheim Fall Festival really hooked us up. So Candy kind of reached out to them and she was like, you don't have a haunt anymore. We have a haunt, but we don't have any place to put it.
Oh, wow.
Would you like us to put it there?
Yeah.
And they were like, yes, let's do it.
Wow.
I mean, she threw him a really good pitch. Like,
yeah.
we put stuff together. She didn't just reach out to them. She was like, this is what I
can
do. She's like, we got costumes and we have a story and we have lighting. You know, we have lots of cool stuff. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
And they were like, yeah, absolutely. Let's do it.
No joke. Okay. How many people were involved? I mean, it looks like quite a bit. At least 20?
Well, 7 of us run it. So the 7 of us are partners and we are the creative control. We kind of run everything together.
Yeah.
Our cast is about 40.
Holy shit, that
many. So it's huge. For me, it's like both a costuming nightmare, but also a really cool challenge where I'm like, oh, I hate this. But also something for me to shoot for.
That is dope, though.
Yeah,
Cool.
And for me, it's exciting because this is the first show that's my show that I get to costume.
Yeah.
I mean, I started costuming when I was 14. I started, actually, Candy's dad was the first director that I ever got to work with,
okay.
where he would actually hire me to costume his shows. And so I started very early, you know, costuming.
That's what I'm going to say. You kind of go out, you know, you're put in the door, which is kind of
good
to have. Yeah.
But it's kind of one of those things with directors, you always give them what they're looking for.
Okay.
Where this one is a true collaboration where, yes, I talk to the directors. Yes, I talk to the makeup artist. I don't just go off and do whatever I want.
Yeah.
But we develop it together. So it's not me just making their vision come true. It's our vision. So we get to work together where I throw an idea and they're like, oh, I love that.
Yeah.
You know, let me throw something on top of that. Or Candy will have an idea and I'll be like, oh, I know what to do with it. So it really is. It's such a collaboration. It's beautiful to be able to. And for me, it's an insane body of work. Mm-hmm. You know, most people my age don't have these kind of opportunities,
yeah,
so don't have that much to be able to put forward. Like, I have a I've costumed a cast of 40 by myself, and these are all of my pieces, and all of them came from my brain, you know, kind
That's
of a thing.
Awesome.
Not a lot of people get that.
Yeah, you get to show off your work that you're creative about, you're passionate about, and more people should have the opportunity to do that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So that you're able to do that. And looking at it in a cheesy way, that's what this is for me. Like, I work two jobs, and this is the third podcast I'm thinking about doing.
Crazy,
and it's
right?
a weird passion project. But this one is more cool because I get to learn about people, things that I would never have really thought about, like Taylor, you know, seamstress or whatever. It's just interesting. So, and then this side project, I love that you just, the way you're smiling and telling me these stories about this Carnival of Dreams. When does that start?
It is October 27th. This year, it is a one-day-only event.
One day only,
so it's 10 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, on Center Street.
Shit.
It's going to be right
mad,
in front.
Man, dude.
Yeah, it's going to be right in front of the museum, and it's actually a three-part show.
Okay. How? So, break down the show, please.
I'll actually let David come in to kind of talk about that.
Okay.
It's kind of he's the writer, so it's this is his brainchild.
Okay, then you know what? Okay, David, we're going to have to hold off on you. That way, I can give David his full.
Okay,
his
good,
full time.
Good.
Because
yeah.
looking, we can go for as long as we want, but just for shout out, I think you know. It's not a boring show. I'm enjoying it. I know my listeners are going to dig on it anyways. But please feel free to toss out social media where our listeners can find you, maybe look into more of where you guys are coming from, and hopefully they start hitting you up. Because like,
oh,
I know
yeah.
one of my listeners hit us up already saying, like, I can't wait to see what's gonna what you have coming up next.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I kind of teased it last week. And
yes,
so,
I
so
heard
get
that.
Feedback right now, like, okay, this is cool.
So you can find us on Facebook at Cornelius Cobb's Carnival of Dreams.
Okay.
It's very long. You can literally just type in Cobb's Carnival of Dreams, and it'll be like the
okay.
first thing to pop
very
up.
Cool, very cool.
And then we are
I gotta
also
do that myself then.
Yeah,
I think
yeah.
I'm following you guys on social media already.
Yeah, we're also on Instagram as Cobb's Carnival of Dreams. I run the Instagram, so if you send a message, it's me you're most likely going to be talking to.
Awesome. Okay.
Everyone else has access to it, so they can.
Yeah.
You could get somebody else, but it's probably going to be me.
Okay, very cool.
And then you can always find me on my personal Instagram, which is Madsen Creations, and my personal Facebook, which is Madsen Creations by Rachel Madsen. So if you ever need any custom apparel or alterations, you know where to find me.
Very cool, very cool. All right, guys, thank you for this opportunity, because this is just a third side project, and I want to know how it looks and how it goes. I have this. I'm going to put it up on the synopsis. I'm going to break down as best as I can what we spoke about. But thank you, Rachel. I totally appreciate it.
Oh, anytime. Right, happy to do it.
Yeah, yeah. I had a lot of fun doing it. So.
Oh, yeah. You're great.
No, okay, well, thanks for your time again. And listeners, please follow her, find her. Even the Cobb's Carnival of Dreams. It's creative as fuck. And I'm going to have to go visit you guys out that day for sure. All right. Thanks again. All right, guys. I will catch you guys next week. Peace out.